We're going to read the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. God will bless your hearts, the public reading of his word. We're turning to Ephesians chapter 1 again. And in verse 7, you will find the words of our text. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a verse. Let it be open before us as we come to the throne of heavenly grace to find help from the Lord as we preach his precious word. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the Bible, which is the word of God, inspired, inerrant, and a word which cannot be broken, given for our blessing, for our benefit, for our instruction, and even for reproof. And O God, we pray that there will never come a time when we would feel ourselves beyond being reproved by the Lord. Help us, Lord, to accept thy reproofs, thy corrections, so that we might be set on the proper way and be led more closely to thee. Help us now, our Father. Teach us from the Scriptures. Give us that spirit of listening and of obedience to all that the Lord would say unto us. And we pray that Jesus Christ, the subject of this message, might indeed be the thrill and the experience of all our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Back in the year 1984, we opened a new church building in Lurgan, where I have ministered for 37 years, up until last year when I retired from the active ministry of the gospel. It was left to me by the elders of that church to choose a text for the pulpit wall. That wall was behind the pulpit, and it is nicely decorated with curtains, giving the impression of being drawn back and revealing these words, redemption through his blood. I was greatly honoured and thrilled having been given the option of choosing a text. And this is the text which is before us tonight. And I want you to give it prayerful consideration. And I want you to give it heartfelt thought. And I trust God to lay it upon our hearts. This inspired expression occurs twice in the New Testament scriptures. It occurs here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. And then it occurs again in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. We read exactly the same words, redemption through his blood. And as Job, one of the oldest books in the world, reveals to us in chapter 33 and verse 14, even way back then, Job said, God speaketh once, yea, twice, and yet no man perceiveth it. Things don't change with the passage of time very much, do they? Because God has spoken several times. He has repeated his message over and over again. And still, like the men in the days of Job. They do not perceive the things of God. They are foolishness and misunderstood. Men, even some religious men, de-emphasize the blood of Christ. But God strongly emphasizes its infinite worth. There are those who don't like blood preaching. They don't like the blood of Christ. And even some preachers in recent decades have eased up on preaching the blood of Christ. Now, I don't know what your feelings about Dr. Billy Graham are, but I am saying something to you that he said himself and admit it. And so therefore, I don't make it up, nor is it a criticism. It's a truth. Billy Graham, some years ago now, conceded that the blood was not an area of his ministry that he emphasized anymore. Now, what do you take from that? Some time back, he made a decision that the blood of Christ would not be an aspect of his ministry that he would emphasize anymore. Now, I ask you a question. How can a preacher preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without preaching the blood? A bloodless gospel is no gospel at all. It's the center and it's the core of salvation. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission for sin. And we never make any apology for highlighting the fallacies of preachers as well as the fallacies of the world. For I believe that ordinary men and women need to be aware of what's going on, lest they be sucked in to this present day theology of modernism, which is not a salvation, which doesn't lead to heaven, but in leading people astray, takes them down to the very depths of the caverns of darkness forevermore. And as faithful servants of Jesus Christ, we want to warn all and sundry about the dangers of this present modern compromise that is so prevalent in the world today. Even many modern hymn books leave out hymns that have the theme of the precious blood. What a sad decline there is amongst many today. We must remember that it is by the blood of Christ's cross, it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that he entered once into the holy place, having obtained, as Hebrews 9 verse 12 tells us, eternal redemption for us. So how can we neglect the blood? And tonight, I am emphasizing the blood of Christ. Our great high priest continually pleads the merits of his ever-present blood on our behalf. And that blood alone is the basis of our absolute acceptance with God and with Lydia Edmonds. We can sing, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died
and that he died for me. And while we wish that all who come to our church will know that we are not ashamed of the blood of Christ, nor of the gospel of Christ. And above all, we desire that every person who comes will experience redemption through the blood and be saved and rejoice in salvation and be assured that they're on their way to the heavenly home. The immense work of redemption, how could we ever fathom it adequately? How could we ever explain this great work of redemption? The term, as employed in the Bible, means to save. It means to snatch. It means to deliver as the result of the payment of a ransom. That's what redemption means. What great terms these are. What wonderful words these are. Such a price or ransom was required due to our disobedience to God's moral law. In a word, it was required because of sin. We are sinners, everyone, dead in trespasses and in iniquities. Iniquity has sold and enslaved us, and consequently, we are morally bankrupt. We are spiritually bankrupt. We are in debt to God, and justly under the divine sentence of eternal death. How great, therefore, was our need of redemption from the tyranny of sin, from the curse of the law, from the penalty and from the power of sin. Our need for such was great. And the Bible reveals that all men live bound and imprisoned by sin. The darkness of this dungeon of depravity is one that might be felt. It's such a dark dungeon that you can feel the darkness. Feeling the darkness is scriptural. I turn you back to Exodus and the chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And these chapters in Exodus deal with the plagues God sent upon Egypt. Pharaoh had hardened his heart so many times. This one indeed is the ninth plague, the one before the last, which was the death of the firstborn. Here's the plague of darkness. The plague of darkness. Look at verse 21. And we'll read three verses here. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Now look at this. Even darkness which may be felt. Did you ever feel darkness? Look at the next verse. It explains it. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What a contrast between light and darkness. God's people dwell in light, and the devil's people dwell in darkness, thick darkness. They couldn't even see each other. Oh, it gets dark here at night, doesn't it? But you get used to darkness, and you can identify persons in the darkness when you get close. But not here.
This was so thick. It was so dense it could be felt. Nobody could move. What a picture of hell. The darkness of hell. The darkness of eternity without Christ. The opposite to the light in which God's people shall dwell. They shall be in God's house, and there'll be light in God's house. There'll be everlasting light and everlasting life. And there we shall dwell in the light of eternity with Christ. But what about those who are out of Christ, the unsaved? Those who have never professed to know Him. Who trust perhaps in their good living, in their good works, in helping others. When I was down in the city centre yesterday giving out gospel tracts along with others, there were other people there giving out their literature too. As I returned to the train station on the way in, there were girls dressed in red, handing out leaflets to do with Buddhism. I took one, and on the way home on the train, I read the leaflet. And it makes it very, very plain that the leader of 10 million Buddhists, who has a head office here in Australia and presently is in this country, makes it plain that he's teaching the teachings of Buddha, which are good works, a gaining for yourself a reputation, a trying to help others, which will bring self-respect to you, and in that way you will earn some merit. That's not the gospel. That's not the word of God. And every other man-made religion on this earth, call it by whatever name you like. It doesn't matter. Call it by whatever name it goes by. It's a man-made religion. And will not lift a sinner out of the darkness. It will only confirm him in this thick darkness for all eternity. It will only cement him in the dungeon of hell forever. How tragic. And millions of this world are following such leaders, putting their faith and trust in their teaching, being led astray, blinded by the devil, the god of this world, blinding the minds of those that believe not. I'm glad that we have the truth. Should we hide the truth? Should we hold it back from others who don't have it? Are we content to imbibe it within our own lives and hearts? And to leave it there and not to spread it? Not to tell it? Not to warn others? Not to let our light shine before others that they might see we've been with Jesus? I tell you, there's a biblical onus on God's people to let the gospel shine and to spread the word and to witness for Christ. He told 12 disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always." And when you go out to give out the gospel, Christ is with you. And when you speak to some soul about the Lord Jesus, the Savior is with you. And He's promised, "I am with you always." Oh, let's never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. redemption through his blood. Oh, we're a lost race. Every one of us sinners. And after listening to a plain presentation of the gospel, we still find men and women who will say, I just don't see it. After hearing a simple message of salvation, people will still say, I don't understand it. And why is it that after hearing preaching against some of the worst forms of immorality in the world, we'll find people who will say, I don't see anything wrong with that. When we preach against sodomy and against all that goes along with this evil thing, aren't there thousands today who'll say, I see nothing wrong with that. Blinded. Cursed by the devil. Oh, how we need a mighty awakening from heaven. A mighty shaking of the earth by the powers of God. How we need the Holy Spirit to come like he did before and open the hearts of men so that countless numbers, held and bound and chained and fettered by sin, may be liberated and step out into the promises of the word, get under the blood, become blood bought, blood washed, having been blood sought to enjoy the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Thank God we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God is a wonderful God. He is a great God. He is a loving God. And as he looks down over the banister of heaven and sees this world in the state that it's in, he's still a God of love. And yet, we don't want God to be lopsided. He's a God of judgment, a God of justice. All the attributes of God come into play. There are preachers today and they'll preach the attribute of love as if there was never another attribute attached to God Almighty. And when we don't rightly divide the word of truth in all sincerity with sound doctrine, then it's not the gospel that we preach. We make that very, very clear indeed. And the Lord tonight holds out from his nail-pierced hand an offer to men and women who walk in darkness, to men and women who are not saved, to men and women who are out of Christ. He holds out with his nail-pierced hand an offer of forgiveness, an offer of pardon, an offer of reconciliation, an offer of redemption, an offer that it is foolish to refuse. I don't know every heart tonight, but God knows. And if there's one tonight and you're not saved, then you know it in your heart. God has made it clear to you, I've never been to Jesus. I've never been washed in the blood. My dear friend, I urge you. I plead with you in the name of this book to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. To take him as yours tonight. And by faith lay hold on eternal life. Do not let it pass by. Because now is the day of salvation. And today is the opportune time. There was a man called John Welch,
who once lay in a Chicago prison in Illinois under the sentence of death. His friends tried to get his sentence, a sentence of pardon, passed for him, and it commuted to life imprisonment. And up to the day before his execution, there was no favourable response. The prisoner sat in a cell, listening and longing for respite. Then he heard the noise of a vehicle. It happened to be a truck. It brought the materials for the scaffold, and soon he heard the hammers hammering as the workers erected the scaffold for the execution of the prisoner. The sound of that event greatly troubled him, and he begged the authorities to remove him to another part of the prison where he could not hear the noise. He was taken to another cell, and as he sat on the edge of his bed, he was haunted with gloomy thoughts and with great discouragement. All hope for him had gone. Then he was startled by the sound of hurried steps along the corridor, and the person hurrying stopped at his door and knocked and entered in. And the person standing before the prisoner due to be executed was standing there with a letter in his hand from the governor of the state of Illinois, offering him a pardon. And can you imagine the great relief and the joy that filled that young man's heart? He was at the point of execution when the governor intervened and pardoned him. My dear friend, thank God for a far greater pardon, because we are sentenced to eternal death, everlasting punishment, the sentence of hell in the fires of God's punishment forever. But thank God, there is in this Bible a word of cancellation, a word of pardon, a word of forgiveness, not from any human governor, but from heaven itself, from the Lord of glory. And it's the message of pardon. Jesus said that he will abundantly pardon. And there's no pardon like Christ's, no forgiveness like his. And before you enter into eternity, make sure you've received Christ's pardon. You're washed in the precious blood, and that you're ready for heaven and for home. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. My dear friend, don't miss it. Call upon the Savior even now, while in mercy he's calling. And as the hymn writer said, steer for the harbour light. For how do you know your soul might be drifting over the deadline tonight? That's how urgent it is and how important. And I trust that we will all make sure we're under the blood. Blood bought, blood washed, and ready for heaven and home.
Loving Father, we thank Thee for the precious Word of God. We thank Thee for its clarity. We thank Thee for this Word in which there is no mistake. And, O God, we pray that Thou write it upon our hearts and help us never to be ashamed of Christ, of His Gospel, and to stand up for His glory in the days to come. We ask Thee to write Thy Word upon our hearts. Lord, may every soul be gloriously saved, redeemed by the precious blood, and ready for heaven. Lord, take us to our homes now in safety. Abide with us, undertake for us day by day, and to Thee we'll ascribe all the glory and the honour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.